Hey Potters, welcome to episode 244 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay.
Ooh. That was pretty good. I don't know how to respond to that other than that was pretty good. Hi, spoopy people.
I need a spoopy border around me when I say that.
So the orange and the black isn't enough, so I got to come up with something ghosty. I got a week, so I can probably make that happen.
There you go. Ghosty works, like little ghosts flying around like or like flaming pumpkins or something. Yeah. It's a very amber thing. Flaming pumpkins.
Flaming pumpkins. Sure.
Yeah, there you go. Demonic pumpkins.
Demonic flaming pumpkins. We'll make that happen. Okay, note for here. Flaming pumpkins on amber. Okay.
But not smashing pumpkins, which is a different thing.
I do like them as a band, though. I miss them.
Well, welcome, Potters, to what is usually commonly known as the cosplayer's holiday, because it's a day when everybody dresses up and everybody gets to cosplay for one day a year.
Yay!
Although this weekend, people are celebrating pretty much all weekend because it's on a Sunday.
It's on a Sunday.
So celebrations have already started, and this is Friday.
Oh, I love it.
3 days of cosplaying. It's almost like a convention.
Pretty much is like a convention. And there are cons going on this weekend, too. So it all syncs up.
Hi, Alcon. Sorry, Alcon. We are not there this weekend, but we will be back in the spring.
Hopefully. Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Hopefully, maybe. But per our usual, since this is our very last episode of the season, we always do our quote-unquote After Dark Halloween special, where we just come up with something fun and a little bit different to do. It's more of our PG-13 episode, but we still keep it on the PG side of things, so we'll probably still maintain that same decorum as we always do.
You may hear a little bit of cursing now and then, but it won't be anything too terribly...
Nothing vulgar.
Obtuse. Right.
I think in all of the years that we've done this, the 10 years that we have done this, have we even dropped the F-bomb on an After
Dark? Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
Okay, I'll take your word for it because I would actually have to go and watch all of them again.
There are only 10 of them. But of course, we do invite everyone watching to get up and cosplay if you have it. With us, as you can see, we are dressed up for the occasion. Grab your favorite drink, whether alcoholic or not. Please drink responsibly. Make sure you are of age. All that good stuff. Be safe, but have fun, because that's what we're here to do.
We're here to enjoy and share some really fun and silly cosplay horror stories that you guys submitted into us. We may even share some of our own in between all of this, and just kind of have a chill, relaxing last season episode before we start planning for the big one next year.
First, that brings up a brief reminder for you guys is that we are coming up on our 10th anniversary. So, of course, if you guys have any fun stories of coming into the Cospod fandom that you would like to share with us, or any favorite moments from the past 9 years worth of episodes, anything that you guys would like to share or say to us, you're welcome to write us. You're welcome to record yourself in audio form. You can even record a video if you would like. We do ask that you keep it family friendly, even if you talk about a past After Dark session, just because most of this footage will be shown on a standard family friendly episode when we start up again.
Yeah. I'll have more details and stuff up later. I've just been so stinking busy with work. I haven't had a chance to. Plus, we're still 2 months away technically. So, hey, you got time to work things out. But basically, It's our official 10-year anniversary at the start of the 11th season, and I think unintentionally we're going to be recording on the actual date of our anniversary. Yeah, somehow that happened, and I don't know how that happened, but it's kind of weird and awesome that that's going to be the case. So
because it's 10 years exactly.
Yeah, it is exactly 10 years, and we'll be recording our first episode for season 11 on that anniversary date. So yeah.
And oddly enough, that anniversary is the tin anniversary. It's also the wood anniversary. It's like, what do I get as a gift that's made of tin or made of wood?
I can't think of anything.
We'll figure out something to show on the show when we have our 10th anniversary episode.
We'll make something fun happen.
I was going to bake a cake, but I can't, you know, do that with tin or wood.
Please don't.
I do some pretty crazy things when attempting to experiment. And speaking of crazy things, please allow me to disclose to you a crazy thing that I did when I was experimenting and trying to learn new techniques for cosplay. So, speaking of my show and tell, you guys have seen my little silicone gemstone molds, which I've shown you guys a couple of times, and had just terrible problems with the EasyCast resin trying to get it to set in them. And the current weather is really not helping. We had 60 mile per hour winds yesterday, so I'm really glad I did not cast outside. I did, however, have to get the resin out of the mold since it never had set, and I literally had to carve it out with a putty knife, which was fun. But I did learn a really good tip that I saw on YouTube for you guys, and I wanted to share this, is that if you ever have resin that doesn't set, if it's still just tacky and you need to get it out of the mold no matter what, put the mold in hot water first. It kind of helps congeal it a little. It won't set the resin. The water's just not hot enough for that. But it will kind of make it one piece so that you can carve it out much easier. It ends up being more like the consistency of really tough pudding or gelatin so that you can carve it out. It's kind of like a really tough gel. So eventually I threw all of that out and then I poured hot glue in to kind of help clean out the molds because I don't have a putty knife that's small enough to go digging down in there and pull out all the resin. I did try and use a Q-tip. That was not a good idea because it gets stuck. The resin is still very tacky. So I did eventually get, casting one, casting two, I have casting three. These all actually turned out. The hot glue actually set correctly and fully filled it. Surprisingly, hot glue, if you use high temp glue guns, is very self-leveling. It will settle itself really well. It does not work if you use low temp. You have to use high temp hot glue guns, but it's self-leveling, so you can use it for molding. And or, I'm sorry, casting. You don't want to use it for molding if it's high temp. You'll probably melt your object. But the thing I experimented with is when I was looking at these, since you can't really use dye with hot glue very well, it just doesn't disseminate throughout the glue. You can't just stir it and have it evenly go through and color the hot glue like you can resin. I wanted to get the same effect since I know you can't dye it, and I just didn't want to paint it. So what I ended up doing is I took hard coat Mod Podge and then some metallic acrylic paint and basically made a wash. And the way that turned out
Oh,
is like that.
okay.
So you can kind of see that it's tinted.
Yeah.
It has this nice gradient effect, and it has a slightly lesser effect once you run out of acrylic paint. I needed to add a little bit more acrylic paint to it, but there is this really nice blue, since blue is the color that I used, tint to it. So it looks still translucent. You can still kind of see through it, but it has this nice colored effect. And I wanted to share that with you guys that you can make a wash and use hot glue for gems like this and make it look like it's dyed. It's really cool. If you add more acrylic paint, I imagine it would be a deeper wash than this because I didn't add very much. I think I used 1 to 10 as my proportion for experimentation purposes. But since Mod Podge dries clear, you could probably use any kind of acrylic paint you wanted. I wouldn't recommend oil paint because it
No,
wouldn't ever dry.
it'll never dry, and it's going to be because of the consistency of the two. You may actually be more concerned about it splitting. So.
Yeah, Mod Podge is water-based, so you'll want to use a water-based paint. But yeah, you can make a translucent wash with it, and I thought that was pretty darn cool.
That's neat.
Not quite the same as dyeing it, but you don't always need a full dye job for hot glue gems.
Right.
And if I wanted it a solid color, then I could have just painted over the top anyway. So that was my fun experimentation.
Well, good.
Yay! I learned things.
You learned things, and it was helpful information.
Yes, and now I have a bunch of gemstone casts that I need to figure out what to do with.
I'm sure you'll come up with something.
I always do. I have plenty of extra castings.
You always come up with something.
I'll use them to learn more things.
There you go.
Actually, I am going to take one of them. I do actually already have planned to use for a Harry Potter wand.
Ooh, well, there you go.
Because I have a pattern for a Harry Potter robe. So obviously I'm going to need my own wand. I haven't figured out what kind of wand, because yes, so there are different cores to the wands,
There
just like
are.
there are different cores to lightsabers. I haven't figured out what mine would be yet. So if you guys have suggestions, you're more than welcome to post it on social media. And speaking of, if you can think of what kind of wand Nick Cage would have
Oh, my
for
Lord.
his, feel free to also put that on social media.
The purple and on fire.
Yeah, but what would the core be? Phoenix feather? Since it's on fire.
Sure, why not?
Purple phoenix feather wand.
Why not?
I don't think I remember Dumbledore's wand ever lighting on fire, and he had a phoenix core because of Fox.
I've seen all the movies 2 years ago in preparation for my Universal trip. I don't really remember a lot of it. I know I spent most of the time just kind of complaining about how inept the teachers are. Because they did a horrible job of watching those kids. Like, oh my goodness, CPS would have been on their butt. Had a lot of complaints about the teachers.
Before we get too deep into film critique,
I could go off on major tangents there.
well, it is your turn. Maybe not for film critiques, but for cosplay
I
updates.
got nothing.
You're wearing a witchy hat.
I'm wearing
That
a
is
witchy
something.
hat. And well, I mean, I made this on Saturday when I had really bad insomnia, and I put it together in 3 hours. There you go. But that's not really cosplay related. It was just I was very tired and I couldn't sleep. So I had to do something. Really, I have nothing other than I'm ready to start sharing some cosplay horror stories. That's it.
Awesome. Well, let's do it.
Let's do it then. I'm guessing what we'll probably do then is we'll just go back and forth if you want to start the first one, and then we can
I
kind of go
assume
from
it is the
there.
one that is numbered one.
It's the one that's numbered one, and I'm going to transition to the text
Okay.
version so that way everybody can see it while you're reading.
All right. Are any of these needing anonymization, or are they good as
They
is?
are good as is. The ones that I've left anonymous will be completely anonymous. You don't have to worry about them.
Awesome. All right. Story number one. Was at a con dressed as Jinx. I assume that this means the League of Legends character.
I'm gonna guess so too.
Guy, yeah. Guy dressed as Deadpool comes up and asks for a selfie. I'm like, okay, sure. He takes the selfie and says thanks, and then goes, nice Pokeballs, referring to my chest.
That's a lovely
That
one.
one is that one is from Robin Hood cosplay.
And I'm wondering also if maybe, because there is a character that is a Pokemon named Jinx, so I don't know if maybe that's.
Also true. Also
Yeah,
true.
that's why I was like, maybe they meant that one. I wasn't entirely sure, but it's spelled like the League of Legends character.
You know, I'm sure that that individual thought they were clever in like not using vulgar language but still getting their point across. But we really don't need that as women. Really, we don't.
I'm sure the person in the Deadpool cosplay was like, ah, this is something that Deadpool would say, so I can totally get away with it. That's the unfortunate part. It's just like, no, you don't need to do
It's
that.
like we're here to cosplay at a convention and have fun with my friends being a fan of anime or anime. We're not here to get, we're not here to go fishing for compliments. There are other places of business for that sort of thing, usually involving the imbibing of alcohol. I don't know what I would do if that happened to me. I'd probably just be so shocked I wouldn't know
Yeah,
what to
I
do.
think you and I would both just stand there, be completely bewildered that that actually like exited their mouth,
Happened.
and then they would leave,
Yeah.
and then we would go about our business, just like, did that really happen?
Was all a dream.
It was all a dream, a really weird dream because Deadpool is in it. Alrighty, let me go ahead and start reading story number two. It's a long one, kids, so stick with me. All right, so this was Anime Expo, and we had some people drop our room, but a friend of a friend, I'll call her Jane, needed a place to stay. She was already late. We were paying our share at check-in. Jane loved Homestuck and wouldn't stop talking about it. She cosplayed it from it one day and ended up taking over the bathroom for over 2 hours getting ready for her troll
Already
cosplay.
know where this is going.
Yep, people needed to use the bathroom, shower, put on their makeup, but Jane wouldn't let us in. Eventually, a weird smell was coming out of the bathroom, and our friend was able to get the door open. Jane was sitting in the bathtub trying to dye her skin with Sharpies, and multiple bottles of alcohol littered the floor. The Sharpies were all over the tile walls, the floor, sink, on towels, everywhere. Jane starts yelling, "I'm going to clean it up!" Of course, that didn't happen. We eventually got her to get dressed, kicked her out of the room, and were able to get her to pay for the damages. It was almost $1,000. And she got sick after from trying to Sharpie dye her skin. Big disclaimer here that they added was don't do that. That is a major don't do
Remember,
that scenario.
I remember a few years ago when this was such a big thing that Akon basically tried to discourage it to the point of banning it and changed hotels. Because apparently there were so many people who were, getting in the hot tub, getting in the pool, and getting it all, the makeup all over everything. And I have never done full body makeup, but I can't imagine that that volume is easy to clean off of anything,
Well,
let alone your body.
so the first thing is one that she was trying to Sharpie dye your skin. Like that is, do not do
Never
that.
do that.
That is completely unsafe. You will get sick from it because that is not what Sharpies are intended to do. You actually need.
It's
Go
also
ahead.
not what alcohol is intended to do.
I think that the logic that they were going off is that you can Sharpie dye a wig and you do need alcohol to set the dye into the wig. I mean, that's probably what their logic was, and it's like that you can't do that on the human skin. Human skin don't function that way. You need to use body paint that is made for the skin. So that's what Amber is referring to, that one of the cons tried to do was that people had normal body paint on, but then they would just jump into places they shouldn't and leave the body paint mess everywhere.
They didn't have sealant to seal it so that it wouldn't get everywhere when exposed to water. If you use a water-soluble paint and you jump into a giant body of water, well, the expected happens.
Then it goes wee everywhere.
And this isn't even counting, when people were trying to put it on in hotel rooms, which there are ways that you can safely put on body paint in a hotel room. And it doesn't always involve, getting in the bathtub and just slathering it on.
If you would like to learn more, if you go to our tutorial section on YouTube, I have one where I did a panel that was all about body paint, and I go over some great techniques on how to apply it. I have yet to leave a single mess in any hotel room since I've done body paint. I can promise you it can be done.
Yeah, if you think about it, because whenever you have water on your skin, your body will absorb as much as it can. I mean, that's what happens when you get in a shower.
Yeah.
Think about putting a bunch of alcohol all over your skin. Your body's going to absorb
Absorb
the
it.
alcohol, and that's way more alcohol than your body should ever absorb. I mean, normally you use like a cotton ball with alcohol in it to clean something like a wound. You don't put water through your body. And Sharpies actually have warnings on them telling you that they are dangerous.
So please don't
So,
do that.
yeah, please be safe when you cosplay,
That's a
guys.
massive horror story.
We don't want you to come out sick because, especially if this happened to you the first day of the con, you'd be sick for the rest of the con. And $1,000 is probably about as much as the entire hotel room cost for the weekend. Ouch.
Unless you're splitting it amongst 8 people.
Well, it says in the story that they were able to get her to pay for the damages, which was $1,000.
Right.
That my checkbook hurts seeing that.
Everyone's checkbook hurts seeing that.
Fair enough. All
Right.
right, shall we do the next one?
It's ready to roll when you are.
All right. This one says, I went out with a guy once that had a crush on me, but found out later that he was a habitual liar. While driving, he was telling me about a convention he was going to and that he got some perks worked out. I asked what kind, because Free perks are impossible at cons for attendees, most of the time. I'm cousins with Yahya Khan, was his answer. This guy was not the same ethnicity. And he tried to explain that he helps make her costumes and works in her shop. We lived on the West Coast, not the same state as her. He eventually admitted he lied because he wanted to impress me. That's one date I wish I had never experienced.
Cosplay horror stories can happen when you're not at a con. That's a new
pickup line.
The guy
chose the most well-known cosplayer. In other words, the cosplayer whom people would know the most about. Not cool, dude.
And you couldn't even pick somebody that was in your same state. You pick somebody who is on the opposite side of the country.
I mean, I could see that because he said that he's cousins. It's not a direct relation, so I could see maybe,
but
you know,
he did say
different
that
sides of the family.
He helped her make her costumes at her shop.
Ah, good point. See, I do not know where her shop is.
Oh, she's in Atlanta. She makes it very well known.
Ah, gotcha.
She's in Georgia.
Why would being a cousin of Yahya Khan impress anybody?
I have no
Maybe
idea.
Maybe I'm dense.
I'm guessing it's because she's such a huge and well-known cosplayer that people are like, oh, if I just say that I'm related to her, other people will like me too and not like me because of my merits or whatnot. I don't know. It's weird.
Like, does anybody's cousin like have the same level of fame, do the same thing that they do, or as wealthy as they are? Like, being cousin has zero to do with you. If he had said, oh, I'm an award-winning cosplayer and won, you know, 3 years running at this convention off on another continent, Maybe. Be more impressed because it shows that you know what you're doing.
Who knows? People lie for really weird reasons.
Incidentally, don't ever try and use that as a pickup line on me. Don't tell me that you're a three-time award winner in a cosplay competition in some other continent. No. just don't even bother.
Just no.
Just no. All right, next one.
Next one. Okay, so on my first cosplay I ever made, I had no idea that Velcro was a viable option to stick armor to the leotard underneath. Instead, I asked my boyfriend on the day to help me glue the armor onto me using contact glue while wearing the leotard. Not only did my skin also stick to the whole getup, but I got a rash from the glue. There's a lovely smiley face after that. Not the best introduction to the cosplay scene.
As an armor maker, this hurts me so much.
Mentally and physically.
And yet I could totally see people doing this.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, in fact, I actually had expected when you read this story to see that it was hot glue instead of contact glue.
I think there's a hot glue story coming up later. I know of many, many people who have done that, or with, and even Kamui has admitted to doing this too, and she knows it's a bad thing and you shouldn't do it, but she'll heat up her Warbler and just slap it on her skin just to shape it, and she's like, I know I'm not supposed to do this. I only have 10 seconds and I gotta get it done now. And I'm like, oh, that must have been painful. Oh.
I can understand this when it's your first time cosplaying. I know that even for movie sets, they've sewn people into costumes when they busted.
Oh, yeah.
So I can understand it just being like, I have to get it on just for this one time, just for the con. I'll take it off later. But you end up paying for that.
Oops.
And I feel bad because whenever you have the leotard stuck to your skin, when you try and rip it off, you start ripping off not only skin, but hair.
The hair, yeah.
And it's connected to really painful nerves in your body, so it hurts.
It all comes with you.
So much. It all comes off.
It all comes.
Eventually.
It's just like, whoops.
Oh.
The things you learn while cosplaying.
Oh, I feel so bad. I hope that that individual is okay.
I'm sure they are, because they had a smiley face behind it, so they're probably laughing about it now, like, yeah, here's the dumb thing I did.
All right. For the next one, how is that name pronounced?
Is ooh la la.
Okay. So the story reads, I was dressed as Ooh La La, Space Channel 5 at this con. A friend pulled me into a karaoke room and asked me to sing with her. 30 seconds in, and I realize it's a 7-minute-long anime intro that is all in Japanese. I didn't know it. It was the longest 7 minutes of my life. I'm sorry to everyone that had to hear it. Some people seem confused that this Ooh La La cosplayer couldn't sing. Oh.
For those who
You
don't
know?
know, Space Channel 5, Ooh La La is she's basically like the MC. She's a big fancy singer, so you'd think like, okay, somebody's gonna it she'd be like if she were Miku. So
You know, I have heard parts of karaoke marathons. They had a 24-hour marathon at AllCon 1 year,
They're brutal.
where they would just play a bunch of songs back to back to back, and you have to sing. 7 minutes can seem like a really long time.
Like, a minute is a long time. 7 minutes sounds awful.
Especially if you end up getting nervous. And
Right?
that just makes the time feel worse because then it just stretches.
It just goes and goes and goes and yeah.
That's kind of how I think people end up when they're doing the walk across the stage for cosplay competitions, is when you get nervous and time just kind of draws out,
It feels like it goes on
and
forever.
30 seconds feels like 3 minutes, and that's why I think people run across the stage, is they don't realize how short they're actually on the stage.
So that 7
I
minutes
would
was
guess.
really like 7,000 minutes.
Yeah, was probably felt more like 20 minutes or a half an hour. And honestly, even when you cosplay, you don't have to be exactly like the character. Very few people can actually like really be the character that they're cosplaying. So if you're cosplaying as a character that can really sing and you don't necessarily have that level of talent, that's okay. People shouldn't make fun of you for that.
No, I think for them, for the person who sent in the story, it was more of just cringy.
Oh, right. I'm just saying in general, like, don't feel bad. It's probably really awkward and probably not something they would have voluntarily wanted to do.
They were being nice to their friend, and their friend did not play fun. Pulled a fast one on
Also,
them.
singing in another language is very hard.
It is very difficult. It's difficult to sing in English. It's very difficult to sing in any other language. Alrighty, let's start up the next one. This one's a cute one. I like this one. Starts off with, this is a funny one. We're older cosplayers. My husband doesn't attend anymore, but one of the last ones we went to, we passed a group of Harry Potter cosplayers wearing their school robes and scarves. My husband commented that he was glad to see kids knew Doctor Who. That's so adorable. It's like, aww. It's really adorable. What can I say?
I'm trying to, like, Harry Potter robes don't look anything like
Well,
Doctor
they have the
Who's
scarves.
costumes. If they're wearing the scarf version, yes,
Yeah,
as
I'm
opposed to like
assuming
the
that's what they're
tie.
referring to because I only know when, because I'm still am like oblivious to a lot of Doctor Who things. I've only learned about it over the years because of conventions, but my initial introduction into it were just the ones that had all the different scarves.
That's Tom Baker.
Yeah, so
Tom
I'm
Baker.
sure that's probably what he was thinking, like, oh, they have the scarves, so they probably know who Doctor Who is.
In fact, as I'm thinking about it, I think Tom Baker was the only doctor who wore scarves. I think the others would have a jabot of lace or wore tie.
I know the one who had a blue suit.
Yes.
That's as far as I got, man. My Doctor Who knowledge is zip.
Tom Baker was also my first doctor. That was a cute story,
That's
though.
a cute one, though. I like that one.
All right. Shall we do the next one?
Yes.
All right. This reads, "This happened taking the train back home. My feet kill me from wearing 7+ inch heels. I'm leaning on my friend to adjust my boots when a woman just stops in front of me and starts taking pictures. I asked if she could please stop, since I was obviously not ready for it. She just looks around the phone and continues. My friend asked her to stop. Other people around her asked her to stop, but she wouldn't. Until a random person jumped in front of her phone and started waving his arms. She doesn't want a photo! She finally got the hint."
Those are always fun.
Ah. You know, we have said in multiple past episodes when giving convention advice why you ask cosplayers if it's okay to take their picture, especially if they don't look like they're ready, say if they're eating or very clearly, mending parts of their costume, on the phone, whatever. It's pretty obvious if a cosplayer does not want you to take their picture. And even then, you should still ask. But some people just don't.
Some people don't, and they just don't care. They're just like, person is dressed funny. I kind of want to take a photo of it. And regardless of the circumstances, they'll just take the photo. It's what it is. And it's one of those things, because when you're out and about in the public too, and you're in public spaces, you just kind of have to assume that it's going to happen. So you gotta roll with it. That doesn't mean you need to look perfect all the time. It just means it's probably gonna happen. So.
What kind of gets me about this is that normally when people take your photo, they only take one and then they move on,
They were
right?
taking multiples, it sounded like.
Obviously, this person is taking many or a video if it went beyond, okay, please stop. And then all the friends, please stop. And then please stop. Then you just get a blurry picture of hands.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Alrighty,
All right,
we're gonna
next
go ahead.
one's yours.
Yes, we're gonna jump into this next one, which is a long one. So, I volunteered at a small con working with the info table. This happened when a Homestuck and Undertale Q&A asking character panels were next to each other. The Homestuck room was being noisy, and an Undertale cosplayer asked me to ask them to keep it down. What made it impossible was that the person that asked in character, acting with a stutter and a high-pitched voice and moving around that I couldn't hear what they needed. He was at my table for 10 minutes before I found out what he needed. I asked him to go to Con Ops. I couldn't leave my table. Con Ops was next door to the panel. The info table was on a different floor. They wouldn't leave. Only I could do it because it would take too much time to go to Con Ops, and they had to run back to their panel. They stayed at my station for almost 30 minutes complaining until their panel ended.
Now, I assume that when it says only I could do it meant that the person who was asking them was telling them
Them,
this.
basically he was telling the guy, like guy or girl, whoever it may be, he's telling them, hey, you're the only person who can handle this. I won't go to anybody else.
So it would take too much time to go to Con Ops, but complaining for 30 minutes is okay.
It's totally okay while in character, no less. I mean, that's some dedication. Having said that, please don't do that. That takes forever to figure out what's going on.
It's okay to break character if you need something legitimate, especially if your character has qualities that make it more difficult to get help. All right, shall we do the final one here?
The final one, this one's my favorite, and I know this one's from a mutual friend of ours. And it's one of the stories, many stories, with this particular cosplay group that almost convinced me to not make this costume. Here we go.
All right. This one says, "Many years ago, I convinced two friends to join me in a Magic Knights Rare Earth cosplay group. We chose some art that featured the three main cast in armor. This entire project was riddled with many horror stories, from burning a hole in my apartment carpet to still trying to cast resin props at 3 a.m. the Friday morning of the con. But the tale I want to tell today today is the one about the hot glue. It was the Saturday of the convention, and we were competing in the cosplay contest. It was maybe an hour before call time, and the only reason these costumes were done is because we had to put them on our bodies. In a frantic panic to get ready, the three of us are getting dressed, pinning things in place, and making these work. Our Hikaru had made this beautiful gauntlet. She had sculpted the piece in clay and then used papier-mâché to cover the form. It was painted and had a custom cast resin gem in the center. She had filled the cavity with lightweight air-dry clay. It was probably one of the nicest pieces of armor in the whole build. And then the straps she was using to hold it in place broke off. Well, we had come this far, I guess. She took the gauntlet and flipped it over. I watched as she took the hot glue gun and squeezed a copious amount onto the back of the gauntlet. She then turned to me, held it out with both hands, and said, "Put this on." "No," I protested. "That's crazy." She looked me dead in the eye and yelled, "Put this on." And I could tell there was no room for reason, so I put it on her forearm in horror. This is a funny story now, but this experience did teach me a valuable lesson. It's 100% okay to look at a project and realize the deadline isn't worth your sleep and sanity.
If you ever sit through a cosplay horror story panel with Kat Chan, she always talks about her cursed Ray Earth costumes, and I cannot help but laugh every stinking time because it just sounds like a horrible nightmare. And it's just one of those where they were so determined to get them done and wear them. They didn't care about all the pain and agony that they went through, and they learned so much from it. But I nearly did not make my costume because of it. But I learned from her on all the things I shouldn't do. That's for sure.
To wonder, and this applies to the previous story with contact glue as well, what goes through somebody's head when they suddenly go and just dollop glue onto something, which is not something, it's not a substance you would typically put on your body for any reason, not just cosplay, but for any reason. What prompts somebody in their head to just put glue on it and then just go, "Put it on me." Knowing what that does.
I'm gonna guess sleep deprivation
Oh, that's true. They did mention 3 a.m.
and just pure determination at that point. Like, we're just gonna get this done, and this is the only thing we can do right now. So let's just do it.
See, my first thought, just as an armorer, would have been fix the straps or make new ones.
They probably didn't have the supplies. They probably didn't have the time.
No. I would make time. I can MacGyver a lot of things.
I know that they were wearing
Especially.
this for a costume contest, and I think it was like right
Right.
before judging or right before they were supposed to head back to go on stage. So for them, they probably
Yeah.
had like they were at 0 hour. It was game mode, or they had to cancel it.
This is one of those reasons stories like this, and I feel so bad for her.
Thanks,
Because
Kat
I have extensive experience with hot glue injuries. I'm so sorry, Gatchan. But this is one of the reasons why it's really helpful to have an emergency repair kit, like a communal emergency repair kit in the cosplay contest, I don't know, lobby, whatever they call the room where everybody sits before you go out on stage and after you come back, like the reception room.
Yeah, I would have personally, because of my experience with theater, I would call it the staging room. But I
Yeah,
don't
that
think we
works.
have like an appropriate term for it. We just like the it's a cattle call. It's the place where we shove the
The cosplayers, their helpers, the staff, pretty much
Yeah.
everybody who's not on stage at the time.
They just go into this one room and have fun.
But we've been through enough competitions and seen enough people have last minute
Oh,
cosplay
yeah.
malfunctions right before you go on stage that having that communal repair kit or having another cosplayer who's willing to lend you their supplies is a godsend. Especially because you get doubly nervous. You're already nervous about being on stage if you're not used to being in a cosplay competition. Then you get doubly nervous when something breaks, and you can have a breakdown really fast.
I am that person who always has a little bit of a kit on me, regardless of what the costume is. I have helped a number of people with their wigs. I always carry wig tape with me.
I've seen the posts on forums where people are frantically posting, "Does anybody have this, list repair item here? Please bring to room, insert room number here."
Yep. That's
And then
me in the kit.
there's the person who commodified this into a cosplay and is now the emergency repair kit in walking human form that goes around conventions.
It's a good costume to have.
Bless that person. It's a different person at every con, but bless that person
Bless
because
them.
the repair supplies that they're carrying around on them are real. They really have scissors and hot glue and thread and all of those things, although hot glue guns don't really work without power.
There's always
You get a
power outlet
battery powered one.
somewhere. There's always an outlet. It's painful. Do you want me to share one of my stories? I
Sure.
got a painful one. This is probably the worst of the horror stories because I should have known better and asked questions, but I just didn't care at the time. That's usually how that starts, right? So this was at one of our local conventions. I was meeting up at a friend's apartment because his apartment was like right next door to the convention center, and he was like, "Hey, let's just save on parking," because parking was like $30 a pop, and we were not going to spend that kind of money, and we were just going to carpool on over there. So I got over there, and I figure, well, since we're going to do that, I can do one of my body paint looks because I don't have to worry about driving. I don't have to worry about having these things on. I would have somebody with me the whole time, so I was like, "Yeah, let's do that." So brought all my body paint supplies. I was going to be one of my Sith characters, no biggie. Was in the process of getting my bald cap ready, and I pulled out my spirit gum for it so I could get it attached to my face. My spirit gum had already dried up. The stuff was barely a month old. I was like, "Oh, well, that's lovely. Guess I can't use that." So I asked around with people I knew. They're like, "Hey, does anybody happen to have some spirit gum available?" And then an acquaintance of mine chimed in and was like, "Yeah, I totally have some. You can have it." And I was like, "Cool, thanks." And she came over and she said she wanted to help me put it on because she wanted to learn how to do that a little bit better. And I was like, "Yeah, okay, sure, no problem." So I showed her where to put it on for the bald cap and how I was supposed to stretch it and blah, blah, blah. So she started putting it on. It smelled a little bit differently from what I was used to with spirit gum. And I was
Bad
like,
sign out already.
"I know, right? I should have, that was my first red flag. I should have went with that red flag," and I didn't. But I smelled it and I was like, "That smells a little different." She's like, "No, totally a spirit gum. I got it from such and such place." I think she got it at one of the costume shops that's in our area. And I was like, "Okay." And it felt the same type of tackiness. So, based on where it was going on my skin and around my hairline and down over here, it was nothing too extreme. So I was like, "Okay, it feels about the same. So I'm not too concerned about it." Thankfully, because of what this was and the costume that it was, I had a neck piece, so I didn't have to worry about putting the back of the bald cap on my neck. So really all I had to cover was just around my hairline in the front. So no big deal. Went on smoothly, put my face paint on, we went to the con, we had a grand old time, came back about 9 hours later, had to wash everything off before I jumped into my car to go home, tried to get the bald cap off, and for me, because I'm so used to spirit gum, I just peel it off. I don't use the remover. Because one, I'm used to it. Two, I had been in that thing for 9 hours by then, and when you sweat that much, spirit gum will already be degrading to the point where it's just easy to pull it off because there's like nothing left of it. It's just hanging on by a thread and hope. So I started doing the process, and I peeled, was just kind of going at the corners, like, "Okay, need to start peeling, need to start peeling," but it wasn't budging. It's like, "Okay, let's keep peeling, peeling, peeling." Wasn't budging. Few minutes in, and I had soap and water, and I was frantically scrubbing at this thing, going like, "Why is it not coming
Why isn't it coming
off?
off?
It's not budging." The acquaintance was still there, and I said, "Hey, can you help me with this? Like, do you have any spirit gum remover?" And she's like, "Well, no, I don't have any spirit gum remover. I have the remover for the stuff I use." "For the stuff you used?
Oh no.
What stuff did you use?" And so she brought the bottle in with the remover, and the remover said it was a remover for Prozaid.
Prozaid.
So for those of you who do not know what Prozaid is a medical grade adhesive. It is used most often with setting casts. And it is used in the costuming industry as an alternative to spirit gum for prosthetics. And it is meant to be one of those adhesives where it don't come off until you tell it to come off, which is great most of the time.
Great until you want to take it off.
It's great until you want to take it off. And the problem was that because I thought it was spirit gum, we got it kind of in my hairline, thinking it
No.
was spirit gum. And I know how easy that stuff washes out, because really
Right.
it's so simple. You just need soap and water and you're a happy little camper. I was like, some of it gets to my hairline, no big deal. I can just wash it right out. So she put it in my hairline. And needless to say, when the remover started going on and we finally were able to very slowly and gingerly get the cap off, good chunk of my hairline went with it too. And I already have a pretty big forehead. It's more like a five head. It became a six head after that. And my hair has never really grown back in properly ever since.
You basically got a wax job.
A wax job that I didn't ask for. So, kids, make sure that you read the bottles and ask a whole lot of questions and you look at the said bottle before you start applying. I will never live
Especially
that
if it
down.
goes into the hair.
Especially if it goes into the hair. Yeah, I'm forever really grateful that that was the one day I decided to pick the character that had the neck thing, because when you do a bald cap, you're supposed to apply it not just here to your face, but it's supposed to go all the way
Right.
down your
The
neck,
whole seam.
on the front and the back, which meant it would have gone into the back of my hair. Oh, boy howdy, that would have been awful. I would have just been in a murderous fury at that point. So yeah. Always check the bottles. Don't trust people when they're like, "Hey, can I help you with it?" No, I got it. I just need to know
Read the
what it is.
bottle yourself.
Because Prozaid is totally safe to use as long as you use it properly. And if I had known it was Prozaid, I would have pulled that sucker way further forward and used it, and I would have been fine. Good times.
My turn.
Your turn.
I only honestly have one because I've already told the Athena one a couple of times. So, if you guys have seen my cosplay of Yue from Cardcaptor Sakura, I made a glowing bow made of EL wire and paper mache and fiberglass, and it lights up. But I ended up getting some special EL wire. I think it was from EL Wire Pros. And it was so strong that you could see it in daylight, which is what I wanted because I knew I was going to be lit up on a stage and not in a dark room. Because EL wire is, it's not like neon lighting. It's not the strongest thing in the world to see when you're taking pictures of it. And it's not like you can ask them, hey, could you lower the stage lights, please? No,
No.
it's unsafe. So I ended up getting this EL wire, and it's about, I want to say it's 5 feet total. To power 5 feet of EL wire that is that strong takes 8 AA batteries. And those batteries, obviously, I can't stick them on the bow because you see them. And this is cosplay where nothing has seams and nothing is out of place. The 8 AA batteries have a little holder, and it comes with the EL wire, it comes with the battery holder. And it has a strap on it so that you can attach it to something. So, of course, this being cosplay and me being me, I strapped it to my leg. Now, I strapped it to my leg under the pants I was wearing because this is cosplay. You don't want them to see a giant 8-pack of batteries strapped to your leg. And being that the coat Yue wears is shorter than the knees, I couldn't cover it up with the coat. So I had to put it on underneath the pants, which worked out just fine. I walked out on stage, did my thing, couldn't see a darn thing because I didn't have my glasses on, since he doesn't wear glasses and I can't wear contacts. So I was blind going across the stage. I did not realize until after I had gotten off stage that the strapping had fallen below my knee and was kind of tilted cattywampus so that the battery portion was hanging down a little further than it should. It wasn't straight like this, It was hanging like this off my leg. Thankfully, my calves were big enough that it didn't fall, because otherwise it would have just fallen straight off my leg. But the contact point, the wire contact point, came into contact with my leg, and I hadn't known it. And this is 8 AA batteries worth of power running through that wire. It burned a crater scar into my leg. And I didn't feel the pain until after I got off stage.
You were on that adrenaline that it didn't kick
I was
in.
on the adrenaline, and as soon as the anxiety passed and I went back into whatever that holding room, you know, the cattle call room is, that was when I started feeling the burning. It didn't, you know, it didn't smell. It wasn't like a third degree burn or anything, but it hurt and it stung so bad. And I finally, you know, pulled it off of me and saw just the bright redness on there and kind of bit my lip and just said, well, it was for cosplay. It was for a good cause.
It was worth it. My bow was so bright.
Was. And unfortunately, you know, I had a cosplay emergency kit. I did not have an amber emergency kit to take care of the wound. So
Oh,
it
man.
just had to self-heal because I had nothing I could put on it. And I only had basic pain medication. I had like ibuprofen or something similar at the time. So all I could do was just take a couple of pain pills and let it be. I had no antibiotics. I had nothing. So I took care of it once I got home, obviously. And I was fine. But I still carry that scar to this day.
Oh yeah, it's a permanent cosplay scar.
I have a permanent electrical scar on my leg for that.
Get cosplay.
So, you know, I can empathize with people who, you know, glue things to their body or do strange things because I have done it too. It's very painful.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in theory, like your idea was sound. Like that sounds like a good way to kind of hide the wire and hide the battery pack without actually like busting open your bow and trying to make that work without it being a giant
You
mess.
couldn't have opened it because it was like a quarter inch thick. It was
Exactly.
2D.
It was just not going to
But
happen.
I think the issue was that, you know, like markers and alcohol are not meant to be in contact with the human body. Neither is an 8-pack of AA batteries. The strap was not to strap it on me, it was to strap it to the thing that the EL wire was on. And the other half of the problem with it is because it's not a wireless energy transfer.
No.
The EL wire was attached to the bow, and then the other portion of it was dragging on the ground and then went up my pant leg and connected to the battery pack. So I also had to blindly walk the stage while trying to avoid tripping over my own prop because the EL wire was dragging on the ground.
Oh my gosh. This sounds beautiful.
I mean, it looked okay. I didn't win anything, but you know,
You
that
looked
was
cool.
fun.
That's all that matters. You looked cool.
Actually still have the charger from that. I don't have the EL wire anymore because it was no longer good. And I ended up having to throw it out because it wouldn't light up anymore. But I do still have the charger. It's a memento.
The cursed pack is still there.
Thing that scarred me for life. I
I'm
do
trying.
not still have the batteries.
Good call. I'm trying to think of if I actually have any cosplay scars. I've been pretty good about it over the years. I've never sewn through my finger. I know plenty of people who have sewn through their fingers. I have never done that. We're gonna keep making sure that doesn't happen.
I've only done one thing that affected me with sewing tools. It wasn't cosplay related. I was doing something else.
Of course.
I had a pair of dressmaker shears, and I had been cutting something, and I was holding it in my hand as I was cutting it. I wasn't paying enough attention to how deep the blades went in, and I cut the webbing between my thumb and my forefinger.
Oh, ow.
It
Yeah.
hurt like a paper cut.
It stings.
Now, thankfully, Obviously, I still have the webbing between my fingers and it healed just fine. No scars, nothing else, but it hurts so
It just,
much.
I know that feeling all too well from having
Oh.
many paper cuts. It's just a stinging feeling. And you just, and there's nothing you can
It
do about it
does.
either because it's like if you try to clean it or wash it, it's just constant stinging pain until it finally heals over.
Right. And you have to, like, fix your hand into one position and not move
Yes. And
it
now move
so that
it.
the webbing, so that the webbing's in one piece so it can heal, because otherwise there's a gap and it can't heal over the gap.
It's so
Yeah,
frustrating.
it was not fun.
I'm trying to
See,
think.
that would be an okay time for me to use glue, would be to, like, put glue here, like filler, so it'll heal.
Hell yeah.
Actually, to be fair, they do use super glue in surgical operations.
My dad had his
Cyanoacrylate
eyes
is
super glued.
actually okay.
My dad
It's not what it's for,
No, but it works in
but
a
it
pinch.
can be used that way.
That's what
Yes.
my dad had to do. He got the top of his eye cut open on accident by our dog when he was roughhousing with her. And he went to the emergency room, and it wasn't bad enough that it needed stitches, but they needed something to close it. It brought out that super glue.
Super glue. Yep.
I was like, that was money well spent, wasn't
Yep.
it? Super glue fixes all the things.
It does. It
It really
fixes bodies
does.
and cosplays.
Glue all the things. Eh.
Not all of them. Preferably not armor to your body.
Preferably not that, no. Straps or Velcro would be preferred.
Or snaps.
Or snap. I love
Val's favorite
snaps.
thing.
Snaps are amazing. Oh my god. I love snaps. I think the only time I've really severely hurt myself was the very first time I used my rotary cutter, and it was for cutting out the
Oh,
straps of my
those are
petticoat.
sharp.
They are very sharp. I had never used one before. Well, okay, I've used one before. But this was like brand new, out of the package. This was my very first time using this particular one, period. And I just was not paying attention to where I had my thumb at. And it was right on top of the blade as it was going down for the first time. I was like, oh, we're already christening this costume. There's the blood, sweat, and tears right there. The first cut.
Well,
Go
certainly the
me.
blood and the tears.
There was some sweat involved too, because I was definitely doing one of these. I was like, this is awful. What did I do? I christened the costume at the very first cut. That's all it took. I was like, okay, well, we're not going to be using this anymore today.
Or the thumb.
The thumb was out of commission for a good week, that's for sure. The only other funny cosplay stories I can think of is they're all bathroom related.
I have a bathroom-related one, and I'm not going to tell.
Oh, okay. You don't have to tell yours. I know the funniest one that I can think of, and I don't know if I've actually said this. I'm sure I have, and maybe in smaller circles. And this happened at a cosplay contest. And as always, what happens is that when we get a chance to do a bathroom break and it's a cosplay contest, we all go because it's like, this is your one opportunity. Just do
Yes.
it. We don't care. And more often than not, just because of the nature of things, there's usually a lot more women than there are men that enter the contest. So the women's bathroom is always full, and the men's bathroom is generally empty. More often than not, we're just like, whatever. We go to whichever one is open. We don't care. So we always go into the men's room. And I remember when I went in there one time, there was a girl in there with one of these like ridiculously oversized ball gowns. Like we're talking about with the
There's
hoops.
always one.
There's always one, but it was like one of those like hoop skirts that looked like something Marie Antoinette would wear. So it was ginormous beyond all reason. So it was impressive she could get through doorways. That's how big this thing was. So obviously she was trying to wait for the stall to open up, got the stall, and then she was just started screaming like, "I need someone to help me." So myself and my friend who were there were like, "What do you need help with?" And it's like, I can't get to anything down there and I really gotta go. And we were like, okay, would it help if we like hold up your hoop skirt and twist it forward so that way she could have her arms kind of reach under and get into stuff? And when I explained what that was, and she was like, yeah, we can definitely do that. So my friend and I are there holding up her hoop skirt towards the front of the stall where the door is. She
Right.
slipped her arms underneath her skirt to be able to jimmy around and get stuff down so she could go to the bathroom. And we're making very fun and pleasant conversation while she's doing her thing.
Of course.
My friend was kind enough to hand her the toilet paper so that way she didn't have to worry about jamming her hands around all that. So, yeah, I
There you go.
did that. Do you make a lot of bathroom friends while you're in cosplay, particularly at cosplay contests, because you need to help each other out sometimes.
This is one of the reasons why one of my biggest pieces of advice to people when you're making a cosplay, make sure you can go to the bathroom in it. I have heard enough horror stories and experienced enough
Right.
that it's a very important thing to engineer your costume. I understand you want to be impressive. I understand you want to be in a cosplay contest. You are a human first and foremost and need to be able to take care of your bodily functions first and foremost. You need to be able to sit, to get up, and go to the bathroom in your costume. It's not overrated, people.
It's all about looking awesome, and sometimes that means having really big ass hoop skirts that require two people to hold so you can go to the bathroom.
I mean, she's lucky she could even go.
Yeah. I know many cosplayers who were smart with engineering their skirt designs when they do the hoop skirt thing, specifically so if they need to go to the bathroom,
Yes.
it's just like one little like drawstring, they can step out of it.
Yes.
And then go do their
Yeah.
thing. Like, yeah,
Exactly.
sometimes it's just you don't know until you experience it and you're in that situation. Then you go, oh, well, next time I know I'm going to change this design so I don't run into this situation.
Yes. It's very important to consider that when making your costume.
You can still look fabulous and find a way to get out of all that bulky armor so you can go to the bathroom.
Yes. Or better yet, make sure that you consider a fast way to put everything back on so that, you can drop what you need to, take care of business, and then have your fellow friends, your fellow cosplay competitors help you put it all back on really fast.
That's the
Because
nice.
cosplay competitions are hours.
Oh gosh, sometimes they're the entire stinking day, 'cause
Right.
reasons. And I think what's so cool about it's one of the things I do like about cosplay contests is like, yeah, you have this competitive spirit behind them, but like all in all, everyone's usually pretty chill and pretty nice. They want everybody to do well, and so if they see that somebody's having trouble with something, or if they need help buckling or with their wig, like they'll come over and help you because they're just like, "Hey, do you need an extra pair of hands? Let me help you get this back on." Like, they're usually very chill about stuff, which is nice.
Especially those who have been there, done that before, the cosplay veterans, they'll generally be even more willing to lend a hand, especially if they see that you may be a little less experienced and need a hand.
Also, bathroom buddies. I have handed out my body spray setting stuff instead of like, because people will always use hairspray for their body paint. Please don't do that.
Right.
Use the setting spray, it's there for a reason. I'll always hand that out to people if I see that they're having trouble with their body paint and they're wanting to stay. I'm like, here, go to town, use as much as you want, have fun. I am there as the supportive con mom. I even have snacks sometimes too. That's what I'm here for, kids.
Yes, those are also really important,
Oh
especially
man.
if the competition goes for hours. You need sustenance. You need to drink water. You need to eat something.
That's what I have to keep reminding people too, is like they'll get into their nice fancy costumes and they'll not have any water for several hours. And I'm like, you, the very minimum, please just have a little bit of water. Your body needs it. I promise you, you'll be so much happier at the end of the night when you're starving. At least you got water in your body.
You can get dehydrated really fast, and fainting is the last thing you want to do in your fancy costume on stage.
Hey, I've gotten heat exhaustion before in one, so there you go.
Yeah, it's not fun. You want to sip on something, and if you can't eat, then sip on something substantial like Gatorade or Powerade.
Yes, or I prefer my poison of choice is vitamin water. I prefer that because they
That
have a no
works too.
sugar version and has a ton of electrolytes in it, so that's my favorite. Gatorade has way too
Yeah.
much sugar.
Because your body's already under stress when you're at a
Right.
competition.
Whatever you can
You
do, stay
really don't
hydrated.
want to push. Yeah. And there are plenty of snacks that you can eat without worrying about getting it on your costume.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of stuff. Just like avoid peanut butter, avoid chocolate. Like, just think about the things where it's like, what's going to be the least messy stuff? And you can get granola bars and stuff that don't have all that extra gooiness, and you'll be fine. At this point, I have found that if a lot of cosplayers, I don't know if this is just because my experience or because we've all learned over the years, we always have like a bottle of like small hand sanitizer with us, or a lot of con centers and hotels are now offering those hand sanitizer dispensing stations pretty much everywhere, even before COVID was a thing. So if you do get your hands really sticky, at least you can go to one of those and then you're set.
It's nice to have those around anytime you're going to have thousands of people in close contact in a convention setting, anyway.
I remember the first time I went to PAX East, and this would have been 2013, 2014, I think. And that was the first time I saw those stations everywhere. I was like, this is the best place ever. I love this. Because I'm such a germaphobe. So for me, it was like, I have ha made it to the Holy Land. There is hand sanitizer stations everywhere. It's great. No PAX pox for me. I'm just only human.
Do we have anything else for stories for
No,
this episode?
that's all of our stories, which means that this is the end of our spoopy episode. Aw, Amber, this is our last episode of the season. This is the end of season 10.
It
What
is.
do we do now?
We prepare.
We prepare for the inevitable. We get 2 months off to prepare.
Now, granted, that's also 2 months off of working day jobs. Holiday stuff, preparing for conventions
Preparing for
where we happen
all
to
the
be running the cosplay
things.
contest.
There's still so much we gotta get done. So really, it's 2 months off, but we're still doing
It's not
stuff.
really off.
It's off.
But hey, we have 10 seasons worth of content that you guys can always go back and catch up on. We have plenty of panels that you guys can also go back and watch in preparation for conventions that will be opening up in person again soon if they haven't already. So, it's always great to go back and review some content. Like maybe you'd like to prepare some food to take you with you on the convention, or maybe you need to know how to best pack your luggage, maybe how to maintain your costume. We have all this sort of content on our YouTube channel, which of course you can find along with any of our social media here.
If you're watching us, everything's located right underneath Amber in the orange box this time because spoopy. If you're listening to us, you can visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook or Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at CosPodcast.
Of course, you can email us if you prefer, podcast at cospod.org. And of course, even though we are taking a break for these 2 months, we will still happily answer you on social media and our email. So feel free to keep in contact with us. We will happily send you Nick Cage memes in response.
I will still be very active on our social media. You do not need to worry.
Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying, especially on this happiest of cosplaying occasions.
Yay.
Halloween.
Woo.
Otherwise, please stay safe. Please stay healthy out there. Send in those submissions for 10-year anniversary, and we will see you guys back in January for our 10th anniversary. Woo!
And the start of season 11. Yay!
Happy cosplaying, everybody. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.